Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode is inspired by some comments that I've been receiving online, and I enjoy all comments, truly, I really do. I know there's a lot of negativity that comes with the online space. There's also a lot of positivity, which of course I love. I feed off of it. So thank you for those who are always cheering me on and being so supportive. And then there's always, you know, the comments of the questions and the conversations, and there's the confusion of, did they mean that in a snarky tone? Were they trying to be kind? Are they genuinely curious? What's going on, right? And there's so much to delineate and figure out on the online space. But there has been a recurring theme that comes and goes every so often on my Instagram page, in, you know, my newsletters, wherever, even inside my community, where we have conversations about this sort of stuff. And something that's been coming up more frequently, for whatever reason, I'm not totally sure, is this idea that picky eaters are created, not born, or said in a slightly harsher way, that it's the parents' fault that the kid is picky. And here's the truth of the matter is, let me start. I'm actually going to take this entire episode and talk a little bit about this idea and why I believe that it is mostly false. However, I believe that anything that people kind of believe or make sense to them or continues to like replicate in the world of thoughts usually has some bit of truth into it. And so we're going to talk about what I believe is true about this and what I believe to be false about this. The first things first, and I want everyone on the freaking planet to hear me when I say this. A lot of the behaviors that other people will say parents are doing that causes picky eating, for example, being a short order cook, just making them a rescue meal. If they didn't like dinner, they'll make them a rescue meal. If the parents are, you know, demanding that they eat different foods or serving them something else or letting them kind of choose their own snacks or whatever it is that the behavior is the parents doing that others will point at and say, see, you're creating a picky eater. Those behaviors, 99 times out of 100, were not chosen by the parents because they just thought it would be fun to be a short order cook. Like, most parents are doing those behaviors that most people think are causing pickiness because their kid is already picky. So it's like the chicken and the egg, except for we know the answer. Like, the reason why the chicken came was because the egg was already there, right? The reason why the parents started offering rescue meals, the reason why the parents started giving choices, the reason why the parents started making their favorite meals every night happened because their kid was picky. If their kid was eating whatever they made, they wouldn't have to make a rescue meal. If their kid was eating whatever they made, they wouldn't have to make their favorite meal every night. If their kid was eating what was made, the parent wouldn't have to go into all these pressure tactics or threats or bribes or anything like that, right? That's just the truth of the matter. No parent like starts out the meal before they've ever seen their kid reject a food and tell them, hey, if you don't like this, I'm going to make you mac and cheese. No one says that. They wait until they don't eat the food. And then they go, oh, you don't like it? Well, I don't want you to be hungry. Let me make you mac and cheese, right? So I think this is really important to understand when people have these thoughts or beliefs around parents causing pickiness. I just simply do not think that that's the case in every situation. Do I think there's some situations where parents accidentally make picky eating worse? Definitely. However, I'm in that category, 100%. However, the pickiness typically already starts. And we also know that because biologically speaking, picky eating is a biological consequence of growing up. That is developmentally normal for kids to develop pickiness. The reason behind this is they become more autonomous, which is good. We want our kids to be autonomous, right? We want them to grow up, move out, get a job, be able to grocery shop on their own, meal prep on their own, make their own food, eat their own food without being told what to do when they're 37 years old, right? So that is good that they're becoming more autonomous, especially around that 2 to 3 years of age, when we start to realize that they have the capability to say no, and they exercise that right. When they start learning that they are separate from their parents, that they can make a different decision for themselves, we see that come full force in those toddler years. And although it can be annoying and frustrating as a parent, it's actually a really good sign. It's a great sign that our kids are becoming more independent, more autonomous, able to think of themselves in a new way, able to understand cause and effect, able to learn the world through the lens of what they want to do and what they don't want to do and what serves them and what doesn't serve them, what empowers them and what disempowers them. This is an important skill for them to learn. And sometimes, most of the time, that comes out in the food realm, along with all the other things like not wanting to get buckled into their car seat, even though it's the safest thing to do, right? Like, it can be frustrating, but that's oftentimes what picky eating is. And then parents go, oh no, they're not eating. So this is where the little like thin layer of truth that exists happens, is the way we respond can be super important for how long picky eating lasts and how bad it gets. And this is where a lot of people like want to put a period and be like, the end. How you respond matters and you're creating a picky eater. That is not the case. The fact of the matter is, you and I have two very separate children with separate identities and values and personality traits, and they're all made a little bit differently, right? And so when they're made differently, that means they're going to respond differently. So you and I can say the same things, handle the situation the same way, and our kid will still respond differently. I can have a kid who's very temperamental, very sensitive. Wait, I am actually describing one of my children. I can have a child who is very sensitive, very temperamental, very easy to shut down, tune out, very close to shame, and have all these things. So the second that I say, hey, just try it. You haven't tried it yet. Maybe you will like it. He goes into shame. He goes into a shame spiral. It becomes this power struggle. It becomes a place for him to dig in his heels. He hides. He rejects. He decides to push harder because he's feeling now bad about himself, because he should just be able to try it, right? Like logically, he should be able to. I'm not supporting him in the way that he needs to be supported. Meanwhile, across town, Julia can talk to her son and say, hey, you should just try it. You might like it. And whether that's his personality or the trust or relationship that they have built, he might go, you're right, let me just try it. And then he eats it and then he likes it and they move on. And there's no pressure, no stress, no shame spiral, none of these things, right? We can respond in the same way and yet still have two very different children, which is also why I see in my comment section all the time, I did all the right things and my kid is still picky. I did everything right and my kid is still picky. I never introduced them to these foods and they still only prefer packaged foods. I never gave them access to these things. I never set them up for failure. I never pressured them. I never bribed them. I never negotiated them. I never introduced them to sweets. I never said this. I never did that. And my kid is still picky. That's because, again, going back to the top, pickiness is not caused by parents. It is only ever accidentally reinforced by the parents because they don't have any other tools. And in some cases, it's not even accidentally reinforced. The parents are, quote unquote, doing everything right, and the kid is still picky. Now, I want to take a break and tell you that, as you know, if you're listening to this podcast, there is a way, no matter what you've done, no matter what your kid is like, they're not too stubborn, they're not too picky, they're not too far gone, they're not too independent. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to just hope that they grow out of it. You don't have to just wait it out or hope that it's just a phase. There are things that you can do to support your child for who they are and how they respond to food, no matter what caused it. Whether it truly is you or whether it is them, their personality, their experience with food, whatever the situation might be, or some combination of all the above. Hi, hello, that's me. There are still things you can do. So I will remind you, if you have not taken my training on this, highly recommend. It is down in the show notes. It is well worth your time. You can just stick it in an AirPod and listen throughout the day like another podcast and listen to the training. But that's not all I want to talk about. Because what I also see to kind of combat this narrative of it being a parent's fault is siblings. Now, I don't know your story. I don't know if you have multiple kids or only one, or if you have siblings yourself. But as you know, kids are so different. I have three children and each one are so uniquely different, not just with food, but with everything. And so if it was true that it's the parents' fault, then we wouldn't see situations where there's twins and one of them is picky and one of them is not. We wouldn't see situations where one of their kids are picky and the other one is not, even if it's their second or third born kid. We wouldn't see that situation because parenting likely has not changed all too much between children, and picky eating is wildly different. Along a similar line, we can also find examples of parents who did all the quote unquote wrong things, all the things I say not to do, all the things I say to avoid, and still have kids who aren't picky. And this maybe is the best example of all for us to realize that it is truly not our fault. Now, just because it's not our fault that they're picky, or not our fault that they became pickier than they should have, or pickiness has lasted longer than it should, which is really the only thing that parents have somewhat influence over, even if all of that is true and we are not at fault for that, I do challenge that it is our responsibility to help them learn to try new foods. As you know, if you've been following for any amount of time, you know how important nutrition is. You know how much I know that it's important for all children to maximize and optimize their nutrition in all sorts of avenues and ways. We want to make sure they're getting enough protein, enough vitamins, enough minerals. We want to make sure that they have a healthy relationship with food. We want to make sure that they're willing to eat veggies, not only tonight, but also for the rest of their life. Remember, they're creating that independence, that autonomy that is going to follow them into their adulthood. What kind of eaters are we going to raise? So while it may not be our fault, it is our responsibility to help our children. Just like if they're struggling with reading, or if they're struggling to fall asleep, or if they're not potty trained yet, it gets to be our responsibility to help them build these foundational skills of their health and for life. And there are things that parents can do. I know it's also so easy to not only look online and hear that it's all your fault, which we've already established and proven that it's not. I hope that has been enough evidence for you. But we also see online that it is then just a phase, or they'll grow out of it, or every kid is picky, don't worry about it. I know that's so easy to believe. It becomes way easier to believe that than it is to step into the role of responsibility of helping your kid try new foods. It becomes really easy when you feel like you've tried a thing or two or 10 things or everything you've ever read online and stuff is still not working. Your kid is still not eating, to go, well, they're just too stubborn, too difficult, too picky, or, you know, there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to wait it out and hope that they reverse picky eating on their own. One day they'll grow out of it. If you could just see the floods of DMs that I get every single day asking if I'll work with people's boyfriends, husbands, themselves, their teenagers, all throughout the life cycle, first of all, it is just plain untrue that kids will quote unquote grow out of picky eating and be completely fine. First of all, they are building their foundational health in their relationship with food right now in these passing years. These are the most developmental years of their life, especially for their brain. It is insanely important for us to maximize their nutrition in these years. I don't say that to scare you. I say that to give you the loving truth of how important nutrition is for these children, not just in the protein, not just in the vitamin D or whatever it might be, but really truly in their relationship with food, starting to build those foundational skills. And remember what I said earlier, the thing that parents do have influence over, it's not that we cause picky eating or don't cause picky eating. What we do have influence over is how long picky eating lasts and how bad it gets, because how we respond to picky eating matters. There is a way we're responding. If we're responding with the same tactics that we had our parents do to us, or the neighbor down the street did for her kids, or nothing at all and just ignoring it, hoping they'll grow out of it, or they'll just get over it, right? We're just not using the tools that do exist to help our children. And that's where I say parents do have a ton of influence over picky eating once it's kind of started to settle in your kids. So if it's been longer than 6 weeks, I always say it's no longer just a phase. It's become a pattern, and parents are able to break that pattern just like we do with all sorts of other areas of our kids' lives. Okay, I could go on and on about this topic, but the reality is this entire episode was driven from my desire to respond to people online who are telling parents that it's all their fault and parents are beating themselves up, or, you know, resisting any part of their responsibility and role in their kid's eating. And I just wanted to reaffirm to you that it is not your fault your kid is picky. And it gets to be your joy and your experience to be able to help your kid through it. And there are ways that you can help them eat new foods and work with them. This is really something that was powerful for me as a parent. I didn't want my kid just to eat the veggies, but our relationship took like the hit. I wanted to feel good about how I got him to eat the healthy foods that I knew that he needed. And that is completely what my system is built around, is not only getting your kid to eat new foods, eat more foods, eat enough foods, get all the vitamins and minerals that they need and optimize their nutrition during these developmental years, but it's also founded on liking the way that you do it. You're going to really enjoy parenting them around the table, around food. And that is so important to me. So again, check the description box below. Sign up for my training if you haven't already. It's completely free. It'll walk you through not only the 4-step method to reversing picky eating, but also some mistakes that parents are making that they don't even realize they're making and how to fix them immediately. You're going to walk away with tangible strategies to start literally today. So click that link, grab your spot, and I will see you there. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.